Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
It looks like Sean Farish probably will not be able to join us tomorrow. He's what? He's traveling for a wedding.
What?
Yes.
What?
I know.
No, unacceptable.
All these fall weddings.
It, you know,
they realize men want to watch football.
Yeah. I thinking back on it now, we probably should have had him the day after the election. But yeah. It's all good.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
We'll get him on Monday. Though, I think.
Monday. Yeah. Veterans Day. By the way, next week, right, we are honoring the Greatest Generation World War II vets. We will start on Monday. It'll all be in the 9 o'clock hour. We have what was the age of the gentleman?
First one, I believe 97.
97 years old, Don. Yes. 97 years old.
God bless.
So all next week, courtesy of our friends and great sponsor, Window Nation, we will be honoring, the Greatest Generation next week. If you have somebody, we do have, we have the thing up on 1210 WPHT, but if you have somebody that you want to nominate, and when I say nominate, I mean just, you know, honor, send me an email, greg.stocker@odyssey.com, and we will we'll get you up there.
Yeah, I chatted with our first veteran. He was in the Navy, as you mentioned, 97 years old, and it was about 5 minutes, and you know, that's all we need. And share your story, share your journey.
He was
what led you?
Yeah,
I tell you what, once he settled in, he was good.
Yeah, he was very nervous. Talking,
yep, he was great.
Talking aww about it, his service and all that stuff. So like look, there's very few of them left. So I know, you know, when we started this, one of the promotions team was just like, do you think we'll get, like, are there enough of them around? I said, I don't know, but I think it's worth trying.
Enough that they're calling our front office receptionist.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So that's all next week in honor of Veterans Day. We'll do it Monday and all week, like I said, in the 9 o'clock hour.
There you go. 855-839-1210. We will give you some more details about how well Trump did specifically within the city limits of Philadelphia, and then also whether or not New Jersey is on the verge of becoming a swing state. That's coming up. Plus, we've got election night cable television ratings and also the legal cases. What happens with all of those? Jonathan Turley will break that down. But right now, we break down what's going on locally here in the news. 7:04, round number two, the great Dawn Stensland.
And in the news this morning, just getting a more information as we learn more about this Philadelphia police sergeant who is injured but recovering, thank goodness, after he was struck by an illegal dirt bike rider in the city of Philadelphia last night. So he's recovering, we're told, in the hospital. Investigators say the police sergeant was working in the highway patrol unit on his motorcycle on duty when he was struck by this dirt bike rider. Those are illegal. This guy runs a stop sign, according to all the witnesses there, crashes into the sergeant, and then is trying to escape the scene. One good Samaritan in particular, but all these witnesses, everybody stayed on the scene. So police really thanking them for the community coming together, everybody doing the right thing. And so he got the he grabs this guy, the Good Samaritan grabs this guy, you know, wrestles him to the ground, makes sure that he's there for police. But the sergeant at one point had to pull out his gun, you know, to make sure that that suspect, to say to him, stay right there, even despite the fact the sergeant is down and he's injured because he was struck. So the good news here, as far as the sergeant, he is recovering in the hospital. He's in stable condition, but he did suffer some severe injuries to at least one of his legs.
That is so great that a citizen was able to do what they were able to do. I'd love to chat with that individual.
Yeah, and these are the, you know, these are the stories that we talk about, you know, in Families Behind the Badge, and that's just it. When you think about this sergeant, we say, oh, well, he's going to be okay. Well, what does that recovery look like when you're, quite frankly, when your legs have been smushed and,
you're talking
about plates in your leg. You're talking about surgeries. You're talking about 6 months to a year, and maybe, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the wife becomes the caregiver.
Yeah.
Affecting her job, the kids, all of that.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of times in the headlines, I love that we can go beyond the headlines because you think, oh, the officers are going to be okay. Well, maybe in a couple years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
Yep.
So as we move forward here, we want to talk about this. And this is an alleged murder for hire in the suburbs of Philadelphia. So this is a 40-year-old woman from Philadelphia. She is charged along with another woman. Both of the women charged for this alleged murder for hire plot targeting
the Nick Kale.
It was the woman's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
So wanted to take out her ex. It's not good enough that you want to break up with the guy.
Yeah.
But so this is, according to detectives, they've been working this case. It all started in late summer, they say, when a caseworker at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office Family Justice Center, and this is all according to police, they get this information that Zacharias Chacon, who's 53 years old, had tried to hire somebody to kill her ex-boyfriend. So during this entire probe, detectives say they found these communications between Chacon and her former sister-in-law, Reyna Gomez Lopez, that's the 40-year-old. So they pay Lopez the $1,000 to find a person who's willing to murder the other gal's ex-boyfriend. What a tangled web this is.
This is like a Netflix special.
Right? The detectives, they have to find all the bank transfer information. They confirm the payments. So both women were taken into custody now and are awaiting extradition. But they're saying this was real, and they're facing charges of first degree conspiracy to commit murder. I don't have confirmation of the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who's probably feeling pretty lucky right now that detectives caught wind of this.
So you're paying somebody $1,000 just to go find somebody that is willing, capable, and able to whack another human being.
Yeah.
So what is the going rate for that these days? That's what I want to know. 10 G's? 100?
Oh, that's a good point.
So, and how do you find how do you find these people, by the way? You know, for hire websites?
Yeah. Did they go on Indeed?
The dark web. You can go for it.
It's like a Reddit?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Craigslist? Where do you go?
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez.
SEPTA workers preparing for a possible strike.
And can you negotiate? $15K is a little steep.
Yeah.
I'll do 13.9, but you have to bring your own bullets and gun, okay? That scope, I'm not paying for that scope.
Oh, no.
Are you a 1099 too? Like, you have to fill out.
Are you an independent contractor?
Invoice me.
It's a sin. We do have word, and we have until midnight tonight.
Yes.
But we've got the union representing 5,300 SEPTA employees. They do plan to hit the picket lines if their contract deal is not done before midnight tonight.
Also, one more question. If they don't do a, like, if they miss or they don't do
Do
you get your money back?
Yeah, wow.
A refund.
30-day refund, right?
Or if they just wound them,
right.
You know what I mean? And they survive.
Right. And do you want your receipt printed or emailed?
And is it long, like a CVS?
Well, I am serious when I say this. Once the court proceedings begin and I find the court records, I may have that. Because you always wonder about the details. Were they saying that this is the way you want him killed?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
Remember
there was that Jersey
attempted
hit, and the poor woman, they poured, like, they wanted hot liquid they poured all over her.
Yeah.
Like, some of these people, this is crazy.
I know. It's not like you're ordering a steak, for God's sakes. Just get it done.
Ipso facto says, inflation is everywhere.
You're damn right. True. The murder for hire market's been hit by Bidenomics as well. Yeah.
It's like, not for nothing, but $1,000 seems like, you know.
Yeah, it used to be $800 4 years ago.
The best audience in radio.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's hope that we get this deal done in Philadelphia, because at this point, those 5,300 SEPTA employees, they do plan to hit the picket lines. So obviously, if they start their strike midnight tonight, that affects commuters starting in the wee hours of tomorrow morning. SEPTA workers, they want the new contract. They say it's going to happen unless this deal can be made with the managers before then. And we've been talking about this. You know, last month, officials with the union had, that was when we first heard that they said that the strike could be looming, members unanimously voting. Remember this? We talked about it. They did unanimously vote to authorize, and they've been working to try to get this deal done. At this point, they are preparing to hit the picket lines. So brace, obviously, even though they always say they'll do their best to try to have service, generally speaking, they go to a weekend schedule or a holiday schedule. And I don't know how they could man and woman all of this,
mm-hmm.
you know, if more than 5,000 employees go on strike.
Could be an S show.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. We do have word of this wildfire burning several miles from Six Flags Great Adventure. This is the New Jersey Forest Fire Service putting this out. Fire crews currently working to put out the flames in the Colliers Mills Wildlife Management, that area. And this is basically, this is Jackson Township, Ocean County officials working with them. At this point, six homes had to be evacuated. They say that 25 structures have been threatened by the flames. We have tinder dry conditions, they say, because of we haven't had measurable rain. So right now, 175 acres burning, 20% containment. And so this is tough. When you think about the heat that we're dealing with yesterday and now today, tough job for these firefighters, and then a wind factor as well. So they're just warning everybody, think about the tinder dry conditions, you know, this time of year, no campfires, that sort of thing. We don't know how this one started.
So bizarre last night. I took my dog out to go to the bathroom around 7:45, and I felt like this hot breeze blowing in my face. And we actually had the air conditioning running for a little bit because we were making dinner and the house got hot. And I hear my central, air conditioning unit running, and I'm like, it's November 6th, and I'm walking outside. It feels like it's like a summer night.
Today's going to be nice, too, right?
Yeah,
it is.
And Friday.
And I'm not mad about it.
Summer-like day. I mean, 76 degrees for your high today.
Yeah.
Partly sunny skies. Feels like summertime. Tomorrow, Greg's right. A little cooler and more seasonable, but still warm. 70 degrees for your Friday with bright sunny skies. And then we drop to more normal temperatures for this time of year for the weekend. Saturday, bright sunny skies, but 60 degrees and much of the same for Sunday. A few more clouds coming in. So Saturday is definitely the brighter, sunnier day. It looks like the first chance of precipitation of anything measurable looks like Monday, 68 degrees, pretty balmy, but Monday we will get some rain. So we sure do need it, finally.
My Lord.
My goodness. And we are sponsored this morning by Piazza Auto Group. So get the Honda of your dreams during Happy Honda Days with financing as low as 0.9% APR on select new models like the capable Ridgeline. Visit Piazza Honda Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield online at PiazzaHonda.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live.
All right, John, thank you very much. 855-839-1210, the phone number if you want to jump in. We're going to come to your calls right now. You know, I saw these stories floating around on social media yesterday, and I wondered if they were true or not, whether or not certain schools were shutting down, especially at the collegiate level, over Trump's victory. And I wasn't sure if it was accurate, but on line two, we have Joanne in North Wales, and apparently this was a real thing. Joanne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Nick. Thanks for taking my call. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited to chat with you as well. So can you share where your son goes to school and in your story?
Yes, so he attends a small liberal arts college in Glenside. so those in the area know what college that would be.
Okay.
And apparently he said that when he went to class yesterday, some professors had actually canceled class because they were so distraught over the results of the election. And the classes that were being held, half the students were absent and they had taken mental health days.
Unbelievable.
Oh my
God. Unbelievable. Now, this, so just to be sure and just to confirm, this was not a scheduled day off in advance, regardless of winner or loser.
No. Definitely not.
A mental health. Yep.
I know what mental illness looks like.
Yep. And the other thing is, he's like one of the normal kids that go to that school. And he plays on a sports team.
Okay.
And some of his fellow sports team members who are from out of state, particularly from New England, they are like huge Trump fans. So they changed their voter registration to Pennsylvania so that they would make their vote count.
Ooh.
I was so proud. He was like, the young men are like out in droves. They knew they wanted to vote for Trump and they wanted their vote to count. So they changed their voter status to Pennsylvania. And I have four kids and I have two boys that are between the ages of 18 and 25. And they both were out early. They voted for Trump. I'm so proud of them. They're on the right track.
All right, Joanne.
Good job.
Can you imagine next week we're going to honor the greatest generation?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Can you imagine if the majority of them were still alive right now and heard what Joanne just said?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
They'd be fuming.
These people, somebody we're going to talk to next week actually lied about his age to enlist in the Army for World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And we have kids in college
can't
handle the results of an election.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they need a mental health day. Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
And no wonder there was a backlash and revolt. Honest to God.
Yeah. I think I know the school she's talking about. I guess I could say what the hell it doesn't
formerly
matter.
Was Beaver College.
It's Arcadia, yeah. Right? That's what I figure. It's the only school over in that area, I think. I'll probably get fact checked. There's probably two schools there, but I think it's Arcadia.
I think it is too.
It's unbelievable. I don't know what to. I don't know what to do. I feel. Of course, there was a revolt that was going to happen. Of course, because we've been pushed this direction.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and look, the meltdowns were happening. They were all over social media. There's people yelling and screaming, people crying over the results. I mean, and this is not just like shedding a tear because you were invested financially or you were a part of it on the campaign trail and you poured out your heart and your soul and you worked your ass off. I mean, this is just like Gen Z and Gen Alpha people that like believe the Hitler rhetoric and the dictator, you know, the discourse and all the nonsense that the media and the Democrats put out there. And they are. They're the ones responsible for the mental health crisis. And we've talked about it, not just the mental health crisis over the fact that Donald Trump's the president, but the mental health crisis that was exacerbated during the pandemic, right? Social isolation, lockdowns, closures, mandates, put a mask on. I mean, you know, Greg, you had mentioned, I think you said this story before, about you didn't want to put your kid in daycare as a young toddler because you didn't want to have a mask over his face, right?
I didn't want him to wear a mask, so we paid
literally
a salary that we pay producers here in order to keep him out of daycare.
Yep.
So I can't with this, and it's you know, the writing was on the wall for a situation that unfolded yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yep.
And you know, these are little anecdotal reasons like this, like what Joanne just said, are the reason for it.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, 855-839-1210. We'll continue on more of your calls if you want to jump in, if you have any post-election health updates for those that are having breakdowns. We can certainly take those calls. I do want to get to some of the Philly voting precincts and how these wards have changed over the Trump era from 16 to 20 to 24, because Trump has chopped away at those for three straight different election cycles. And also whether or not New Jersey is on the verge of becoming a swing state. Our buddy Matt Rooney, host of the Matt Rooney Show Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, right here with some interesting data points that could convince you that New Jersey maybe is trending in that direction. All of that before we get to the cut sheet coming up at 7:45.
You know, with the cool weather this weekend, tailgating fall, for me, it means breaking out the crock pot. Life is so hectic, especially this week. So it can be difficult to find time to even make a home cooked dinner for your family. I know that I struggle with that. So, and I'm talking about from scratch, home cooked every day. Luckily, whatacrock.com's delicious, easy to prepare meals make it so simple. I just put one of their meals into my slow cooker in the morning, go about my day. When I come home, dinner is simmering. Unlike most meal kit companies, and this is important because a lot of meal kit companies, they involve a lot of chopping and slicing and dicing and prep. With whatacrock.com, there is no meal prep. They make it so easy. And as well, they make the cleanup so quick and easy. It's as simple, like I say, just plop that meal right into your slow cooker and dinner is one and done. So thinking about fall comfort food, I'm thinking about trying the Swedish meatballs, but the Uptown beef stew, my husband's favorite, the old fashioned pot roast with those big chunks of carrots and potatoes and just a lot of that beef, delicious beef. My husband loves it. Looks just like grandma used to make. And speaking of which, they do have many different kinds of homemade meatballs. Grandma's homemade meatballs, my son David, his favorite are the chicken parm meatballs with that delicious, soft, melted parm. That's a little bit of a surprise when you bite into it in the middle. So I know I'm making you so hungry right now. So here's the thing. There's no subscription or commitment required. I like that. You can order what you want when you want it. What a Crock Meals. They also make a great gift that you can send to somebody. Maybe somebody just had a new baby or maybe somebody has just gotten out of the hospital. They need a little help. Use promo code WPHT at checkout. Get $10 off your first order, whatacrock.com. It's code WPHT, $10 off your first order. What a Crock. Dinner made easy. Order now, whatacrock.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
This was fascinating because, you know, we talked about Donald Trump and his path to victory and how if he could just pluck a little bit here and pick a little bit there and trim this and shave off a little bit in this demographic, it would be enough because we talked about it, you know, 4 years ago. The election was determined by three states and 40-some thousand votes, and Donald Trump did more than just, you know, pull and pluck. You know, Kamala Harris fell off in areas that I think all Democrats and probably most reasonable Republicans would have said, oh, she has to gain in this demo, and she has to do better with women. That was not the case. But the Philadelphia voting map shows a breakdown of all the different precincts and the wards and some of the results, and it's pretty staggering. So the Philadelphia Inquirer says that President-elect Donald Trump received more votes in Philadelphia this election than in 2020 amid a perceptible decline in voter turnout across the city. With 99% of election precincts reporting, Trump appears to have defeated Harris in 169 precincts this time around, which is up from 131 precincts in 2020. So that is a gain. If my math is correct, he gained 38 more precincts 4 years later, increasing his share by almost 30%, which was mostly in North Philadelphia. Now, you might be wondering how many precincts Philadelphia has. They have 1,703, so 1,703. Now, Trump has also improved on his Philadelphia vote totals in each of the three elections. In 2016, he had 108,700. Fast forward to 2020, that went up to 132,700. And then this time around, he picked up an additional almost 4,000 to 136,200. So that's pretty fascinating. And then when we look at it outside of Philadelphia in counties, while Biden won 13 Pennsylvania counties in 2020, Kamala Harris only won 8 of them, as Trump was able to flip Bucks, Northampton, Erie, Monroe, and Center County. So you look at the results, and we talked about it. Northampton County, historically, Easton and Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, since 1948, whoever they vote for is how the state goes. Yep. It's how the country goes every time for 76 years, except for one election. And then Bucks gets flipped. Bucks goes 5,000 in favor of registered Republicans. We'll call that perhaps the Scott Pressler effect. And you sit here and you say, okay, well, how did Trump get these 19 electoral votes? Right there is how he did it. And then you get to New Jersey, and this is fascinating, and I don't claim to be a Jersey expert. Zioli, Matt Rooney, they certainly know more about New Jersey than I do. Thought it was interesting because Politico, Matt Friedman, has a what he calls the Politico New Jersey playbook. If you want to take a look at the story, it's pretty good. It's on Politico's website. But I'm going to give our boy Rooney some credit. And this was a tweet. This was yesterday afternoon around lunchtime. With 94% reporting, according to the Associated Press, New Jersey, Kamala Harris was up by 4.3 points. That was the final number, or pretty close to the final number. She had 51.2% of the vote to Trump's 46.9%. Rooney says in this tweet, this means, incredibly, Trump may do better in New Jersey than in Virginia, where he's currently down 5.2 points with 99% reporting. And then Rooney says, if the RNC doesn't invest here next year for the gubernatorial race, it is political malpractice. So that's fascinating. I don't know that I'm, and again, I don't have a grasp on New Jersey like I do with Pennsylvania. And if you've grown up in PA, you know it better than Jersey. If you're a Jersey resident and a Jersey listener, you probably know Jersey better than Pennsylvania. I don't know that I'm willing to go that far to say that New Jersey is a swing state. I would need to see more collective success in other races beyond just Trump.
I was just going to say that too. Like, is this a, is, because we know Trump is a political animal unto himself.
Right.
So is this a Trump effect, or is this really that New Jersey is turning red or on the cusp of it?
I mean, there's certainly pockets of red, but I also, if my numbers are correct, and this was yesterday, probably around dinner time, look, I thought I saw Curtis Bashaw was down about 9 or 10 points.
Look, as we're, you know, as we're speaking here, states change. I mean, the demographics change. If you remember in 2004, I think it was 2000, in the early 2000s, Ohio was a swing state.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio, that was a state that both Republicans and Democrats flipped back and forth on winning. And John Kerry, it came down to Ohio in that 2004 election.
Right.
Now Ohio is completely red.
Yeah.
So it is possible for states to flip.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Florida.
Yep.
Florida is another great example. That was always the swing state, the hanging chad, mm-hmm, in 2000. And now,
not anymore.
Trump won it by 13 points.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not so. Yes, it is. It is.
And look what DeSantis did 2 years ago in the midterms.
Exactly,
he rolled.
It's not unlikely to say that a state could flip because of demographic change. But I'm with you. I see this, and I was just like, yeah, that's interesting. But I'm wondering if it's more of an outlier just because of Trump.
Yes, I would agree. Let's see what our boy Ed in Delran, New Jersey, thinks. Eddie, what's going on this morning, pal? How are you?
I am doing great and as happy as heck. Well, anyway, as the old saying goes, Nick Thorne and Greg will give you the truth, and here's part of the proof. Kamala Harris is such a freaking goof.
You extended the rhymes there for an extra sentence. I like that. So,
oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you what. Her speech that I listened to yesterday,
mm-hmm,
who's writing these speeches? Because it sounds like she's campaigning all over again with the dreams and aspirations and then saying,
same thing.
In the dark, you know, you can see the stars. Really?
Yeah, you're going to hear some of her coming up in the cut sheet where it's she's basically saying that the fight is not over.
Why don't we play? Why don't we play a little bit of it now?
Okay.
Phil, can you pull up cut 4 here? This was yesterday, her concession speech. It happened late in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Play a little bit of it here. Cut 4. Didn't I ask you to start this like a minute and 20 into it?
Oh, well, here she comes, though.
Okay.
Look at her waving. You think she won? You think she's just starting to go on the trail? This was at Howard.
Yeah.
Her alma mater. Well, when you go to your alma mater, you don't got to bus people in.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon.
She was early yesterday, too, by the way.
Good afternoon.
It was supposed to be 6 o'clock.
Good afternoon.
Yep, lots of good afternoons.
So I asked to start this at a minute 20
thank
in.
You all.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I love you back.
Yeah, we love you too. We love your 226. Love when you get 226.
And I love you back.
Yeah.
It's the remix.
It's the Kamala remix.
So let me say.
Go ahead.
My heart is full today.
Yeah, same here.
My heart is full today. Full of gratitude for the trust you have placed in me. Full of love for our country. And full of resolve. The outcome of this election is not what we wanted. Not what we fought for. Not what we voted for, but hear me when I say, the light of America's promise will always burn bright.
Ooh. Yeah.
The stars at night
as long
are big and bright.
As we never give up.
Yep.
And as long as we keep fighting.
Yeah. Let's run it back again in 2028, Kamala. Come back bigger, stronger, better, and faster, and then end up with 173 votes in the Electoral College. I hope she does come back. It was such a gift, and it's easy to say that now, but it really was. I mean, the fact that the Democrats, went along with this charade of Joe Biden is fine, he's good, until it became indefensible to claim otherwise, and they put themselves in a box, and you know what? Good for them, because they like to put everybody in a box, and they're, the identity politics boxes and the identity politics umbrella. And then they had an, oh, what the bleep just happened moment. Well, we're down to 90 days and the secret is out. Joe is shot, right? So now we have to put in Kamala Harris. And why do we have to do that? Because if we are to leapfrog somebody ahead of her, it would be viewed as racist and sexist. So, you know what? Sometimes you have this vision, you have this agenda, you have this playbook, you think it's the key to success, but ultimately it becomes your undoing. And they put themselves in a corner and they said, you know what? She can't be any worse than Joe, when in reality she proved she was significantly worse than Joe. And I'm glad that it backfired the way it did. You know, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer, all the power brokers that be, that did this coup, that subverted democracy, that is one of the sweet spots of this victory. For all the claims of Trump being a threat to democracy, it was the Democrats that subverted democracy, and it blew up in their face to the tune of a blowout, 312 to 226. I know we have said that landslides don't exist anymore, but if Trump beats Harris 312 to 226, if Trump beats her in the popular vote by 5 million votes, if you take back the Senate and you keep the House, can we classify it as a landslide? I mean,
it's an
they never will.
It's an electoral landslide. I mean, think about when Obama beat McCain,
yeah,
in 2008. Mm-hmm. Like that was an electoral landslide,
right?
So, yeah, landslides don't happen. When everybody says about landslides, they're talking about like Reagan in 84 or mm-hmm. Nixon in 74, mm-hmm. or 72, whatever it was.
Yeah,
you know, those situations where it's like literally. You know, there's no shot. I think Mondale won one state in 1984. So
yeah.
I'm talking about that type of stuff.
Yeah. No, I got you. One last little tidbit here on some of the exit polling numbers. Latino men and women in 2020, they supported Biden 59% Latino men, 69% Latino women. Exit polls from Tuesday show, 55%. On both male and female Latinos, supported Trump. Think about that. Trump got 55% of the Hispanic vote. I'm still waiting for the African-American vote.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be what you guys think.
You think, I think it's 15?
I think it's like 12.
So you think it stays flat?
Yeah, because of African-American females. I think they voted like 92%.
Okay.
And the black male vote kind of stayed the same.
Okay.
So there was a lot of smoke and mirrors with that whole thing.
Okay.
But the Hispanic vote, there's no question in my mind. That's really what put him over the top.
Also, and, I'm also curious to see how Jewish and Arab voters voted as well.
I saw a story in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah, she bombed there, didn't she?
Yeah, I think that him and Jill Stein got more, like way more votes than she did.
That is staggering. Yeah. I thought that would be a lock for her.
Yep. Yeah. Interesting to see what plays out.
Wow.
The next few days, we're going to get a lot more.
Yep.
Of the breakdown of the voting. But
that is correct. The breakdown of the numbers and the breakdown of people's mental health on social media. 855-839-1210. What's on the cut sheet for Thursday? You will find out next here on Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.
Are you ready for a trip to paradise? Yes, the Italian Riviera, on a gastronomical event that only Conservative Tours can deliver. I hope you join me for this amazing 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in all of Italy, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, $53.78. Yes, that includes your airfare, the $53.78. Dining events at the wineries in Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733-9494. Or you can go to conservativetours.com and you scroll down, you'll see my name and picture, and you'll see pictures of the itinerary. Some of the places we're going, like the hidden Italian villages you've never seen before. Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, and Milan. We will conclude this incredible trip on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. See you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Just about an hour from now, Kamala Harris will join Kale and Company. Wink, wink. But right now, let's get to what's on the cut sheet for a Thursday morning.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday, sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo? Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. Relationships really do matter. Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Piggybacking on what we were just talking about, Hispanic males. So this guy is, I think he runs and is the host of a Spanish radio station in Allentown.
Mm.
And he was the guest on MSNBC yesterday. And they were talking about the huge male Latino population that went out and voted for Trump.
Yeah. Allentown, Reading.
Yep. Yeah. By the way, he's standing in front of a fake background, and like you can see the PPL Center, or what's supposed to be the PPL Center behind him. And he's a Latino, and he blames misogyny for it.
Misogyny.
He said Latino men think that women belong in the kitchen. Cut one, Phil, go.
11th hour gaffe at Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden rally, where a comedian described Puerto Rico as trash in the middle of the ocean.
Can we stop for a second?
Oh, there it goes again.
No. I wanted to zero in on that point, because the media, everybody, made such a big deal about that clip.
Yeah.
That comedian that said,
oh yeah, mm-hmm. Hinchcliffe, right?
Do you think, Tony? Do you think I believe it actually helped him.
I don't know that it helped him, but I certainly don't think it hurt. I just feel like
it certainly didn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, to me, you already know what Trump's about. You already like him. You already have your mind made up on whether you're voting for him or not. Like, this whole concept, short of CJ from Havertown, who called in and said his wife was a game day, election day decision, mm-hmm. everybody else, I thought, had already made up their mind. So there was really nothing out there that I thought could swing this thing one way or the other.
But again, let me just go back to that comedian's statement and how it was wall-to-wall news.
Oh, yeah.
Wall-to-wall news.
Yeah, they were desperate to find something.
Weeks it was wall-to-wall news. And I, you know, that podcast, you know, we said it here, is a really popular podcast, mm-hmm. especially with 18 to 29-year-old males.
Yep.
And I really do believe that that actually backfired and helped him more than it hurt him.
If you are correct, the explanation, the rationale behind why you could be correct is I think people are sick and tired of having to walk on eggshells with the fear of offending people. Right.
Agreed.
It is. And that's not to excuse all ways that you can offend somebody. But in the comic setting with a comedian whose job it is to roast people and roast certain demographics, check your feelings at the door.
Again, another cultural touch point has been the rise of comedians like Tony Hinchcliffe, mm-hmm. like Shane Gillis, like these un-PC Kurt Metzger. There's a bunch of them. These un-PC comedians that just say whatever they want to and don't care who they offend.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so appealing to a certain demographic. It's appealing to our age demographic because we remember when comedy was allowed to push boundaries. And it's also appealing to the 18 to 29-year-old kids who probably have only heard this from parents like us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I just think that comedian having on there with all the pearl clutching, with everybody's like, oh, it was this is going to sink the Trump campaign with no. I think it had the opposite effect.
Tony Bruno mentioned Don Rickles.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember that right afterwards, and mm-hmm. said how this is the modern day, you know, Don Rickles from back in the day.
Yep.
And that was astute, I think, of Tony Bruno to say these kinds of comics have a breakthrough way about them. They hit the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say in particular for Tony Hinchcliffe, he's somebody who I think for the young male demographic, whether it's Hispanic, any young male demo, especially his show is one that they all know and they all love.
Yes. Yep. You know, it's funny, too. I remember seeing this phrase probably 4 to 5 years ago in response to the creation of this woke movement. And it was a slogan and it was awake but not woke, basically saying, yeah, I'm aware of the injustices. I don't stand for the real crimes against humanity, but give me a break with some of this, you know, snowflakeism that's going around where everybody wakes up every day looking to be triggered and bothered by every single word that somebody utters. And I think that era is coming to a close.
It goes back to what we were saying in the 6 o'clock hour. Maybe it was the 7 o'clock hour. I don't remember. We're still in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm still woozy from,
hey,
from
man,
this week.
Need that nap.
The culture has shifted too far, and there needed to be a correction.
Yep.
There needed to be a shift back, and the signs were all there. And the rise of these comedians, I know it's such a small thing,
yep.
but I think it's like if you take every little one of these breadcrumbs, every one of these pieces, and say, like the rise of these un-PC comedians who say things and how popular they are, especially with young people
mm-hmm.
and people our age. Of course, this needed to.
Yeah, the pendulum has swung back in the other direction.
All right, I'm sorry, I didn't. Can you start that clip over, Phil? I didn't mean to.
11th hour gaffe at Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden rally, where a comedian described Puerto Rico as trash in the middle of the ocean. And I know you heard a lot of feedback, but I wonder where you place sort of the timing of that and the impact in the final tally in Pennsylvania and across the country.
Well, I can tell you that, for example, right where I'm at in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where the majority of the Puerto Rican community lived, it had an impact. I mean, Allentown voted for, or the Puerto Ricans in Allentown voted for Kamala Harris. And so in that sense, I could say that it had an impact. And in the state as a whole, with the Puerto Rican community, unfortunately, that wasn't enough. As far as the Latino vote in general, it was the Latino Latino man. It was a Latino man who decided that they were going to vote for Donald Trump. And I will dare to say that it's the Latino man who wouldn't want a woman president. I mean, you and I had this discussion before, and I have audios from Latino men who were calling my show telling me that they wouldn't vote for her just because she was a woman. And that is unfortunately, but that's part of the Latino culture, right? Where the Latino, the man is the one, the provider, and we're the boss. And we still unfortunately have a lot of Latinos with that mentality where the woman belongs in the kitchen. That is a reality of the Latino male chauvinist culture. And I think that's exactly what happened.
Victor, how do you get them back if you're part of the Democratic Pro-Democracy Coalition?
I mean, again, they were willing to vote for Joe Biden. They were just not willing to vote for Kamala Harris. So I will say, listen, the Democratic Party needs to make sure that they regroup, that they look for somebody young, vibrant, that can make the case just like Joe Biden did. But unfortunately, as far as this Latino man's, I don't think at any time in the future they will vote for a female president.
Are there a select few out there, a single-digit percentage of men that will not vote for a woman regardless? Yes, that's always going to exist. That's never going to be 0%. But the reality is this was a failed administration with her as the number two. And as we got to know the little bit that we do about her, you then realize she's further left than Joe. And on top of it, I believe there are a lot of Latino men that are relatively conservative. So you're just not going to vote as a conservative Latino for a progressive female. There's just no chance. And Trump has done a great job across the country. And I don't think that that really has anything to do with Kamala Harris's gender or race. Like I keep reciting Stephen A. Smith when he went off on everybody in the black community for saying it was misogyny. And he said, is it possible that maybe it's policy? And you look at the policy, and to be honest, the policy doesn't resonate with the masses. It just hasn't. And it hasn't resulted in results in the country.
I mean, there's no question. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that the Hispanic community, the Latino community, is a more conservative community.
Right.
They're very religious. Mm-hmm. So it's not shocking to me that a majority of them, or at least a majority of males, went for Trump because he's the more conservative candidate. I mean, that's a pretty well-known fact. I don't understand why they're all of a sudden so shocked by this.
Yeah, to me, it's perplexing that you would vote for somebody solely on their gender or solely because of their race.
But
they're terrible.
But I think what this guy, and he's not a pollster, he's not an expert. Okay,
he's,
so
he's the, a radio
what the
host.
Right, he's a radio host, so he should do his homework, because if you look at what all of the experts are saying and what everybody missed. Was think about the jobs report. First of all, the jobs report that they lied to us, and then oops, we got it wrong
multiple times.
And then importantly, what was it about that jobs report that we had lost more than a million jobs, and any job growth we had about a half a million part-time jobs? What does that tell us? What did Trump resonate with? His campaign and the GOP welcoming in working class voters. People, I can't tell you, I was at a gathering within the past, two gatherings within the past 2 weeks, so many individuals saying, I had lost during the pandemic or right after the pandemic, lost my full-time job, I'm working per diem and I have all these part-time gigs, I'm looking for full-time work. Nobody really talked about that. So when he talked about the economy and immigration, what everybody missed within there is that, in fact, all the pollsters, all these experts looking at all of this say that when you talk about the mass immigration, what does it do? It presents difficulties for those already in the United States here looking for jobs. The other thing I'll say, it's not only the Latino or Hispanic vote, but Asians. When you look at the number of Asian voters, that jumped way up as well. But Trump dropped a few percentage points when it comes to white wealthier people or white people in the burbs. He actually dropped 3 percentage points.
Yeah.
So I just find it, you know, I think what the truth is, it's not about people's ethnicity. It's about people who are looking for full-time employment rather than part-time work.
They really need to drop the identity politics nonsense, re-examine their policies, and find the right candidates with the right message. Stop obsessing over all these little intangibles of who you sleep with, what your pronouns are. Nobody cares anymore.
So to Dawn's point, and Nick, what you're saying too, you guys may be shocked about this, but you might agree with sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd, because he said something that I think is to both of your points. This is cut two, Phil. Go.
Look, this is a miss, because this looks exactly the way Iowa looked 4 years ago. You know, we're in margin of error range there. So, look, she thought she'd found something.
This
with
is the pollster that we're talking about. Yeah.
Independent women looking like they were choosing. And certainly we've seen some evidence of it in national polls, a point or That's two right. here or there. And look, I've seen it throughout the Midwest, but it's a point here or a point there. I don't know if it's enough to make up for the loss of voters of color that have cleared. I mean, that continues to me to be the big story of the night, is the shift among Hispanics. Look, Hispanic voters are swing voters, and I think, you know, what's interesting here is the Republican Party treated them the same way they treated white working class voters. They courted them the same way they treated white working class voters. The Democratic Party has spent a lot of time treating it as an identity group, you know, and, you know, whether it's Latinx, which sort of fell flat. And so there's been a lot of hand wringing about this inside Democratic circles, a real split. Like, you know, it was a total misread sort of by the coastal strategists when it comes to how to target working class voters of color.
Yep, all these white, wealthy, coastal elitists that live with, like, you know, this white guilt on their conscience. And then they say, and I don't know who advised Kamala Harris to do the altering of the accent. What was it? One of our callers, code breaking, code speaking.
Code switching.
Yeah. Code switching. It's just my view. If I was in these groups where I know she doesn't talk like that normally, and then she talks like that in front of me, I would find it insulting. You got to drop that, okay? It doesn't work. It didn't materialize. It's a laughable thing to do. I moved to the South. I was in Nashville for 4.5 years. I never once tried to, you know, alter my speech or start saying y'all. You know, they would have looked at me like, look at the Yankee trying to fit in. The whole bit. Like, I was just myself, and it worked. And if you can just be yourself and be authentic, that can be good enough if you have the endearing qualities. But I don't even know that she has the endearing qualities, right?
I just think I think the bottom line is she did not attract people right now in this tough economy who wanted full-time jobs. Asian voters voted for Trump by 38%, according to all these stats that I'm looking at here. And his numbers in 2016 were 9%. He got 38% of the vote from Asian voters. That really pops up to me. And by the way, that is the very same number that departed the Democrats' party. Okay? So you have Asian voters who, maybe because of their values, quality of life issues, but I think it's about jobs, went for Trump. Yeah, 38%.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
That is. Yes, indeed.
So Kamala Harris yesterday gave her concession speech at Howard University. We played a little bit of that. I'm going to play a little bit more here. She said that she's proud of the race that they ran. I guess you kind of have to say that, don't you?
Yeah.
To make the volunteers and all the donors that spent $1 billion on your campaign feel better. This is cut five. Go.
Look, I am so proud of the race we ran and the way we ran it. And the way we ran it over the 107 days of this campaign, we have been intentional about building community and building coalitions, bringing people together from every walk of life and background, united by love of country, with enthusiasm and joy in our fight for America's future.
The entire concept of her campaign. By the way, 107 days. She could have had 207 days. It would not have mattered. You can't sit there and say...
Notice that she said that, though? That's very interesting to me. She said, over the 107 days.
Her ego probably says, if I had a full run, yes, I could have done better.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yep.
Which she wouldn't, because you could give her 207 lifetimes. And she's, again, I mean, 5 years ago, she tapped out. She tapped out before the before she even got a vote in Iowa. She never made it to Iowa in the primaries 5 years ago. But the truth is, you did not try to unite the country because you're sitting there chastising 74 million plus people, calling them Hitler and Nazis. This whole facade of we ran a campaign for everybody. No, you didn't. You ran a campaign for at best 50% of the country. So that's a mm-hmm. joke. And as far as the joy and the hope and those words that she's uttering again, like, I really don't know where they're getting that from, because there's a lot of people that don't have any joy or hope right now because they don't have any money, right? Life sucks. Life is awful when you're broke. You can't do much with no money, right? Yeah. And if you've worked in radio, you know that. When you got no money, you can't go golf. You can't go out to the bar. You can't do anything. I've never met many broke people that are happy. And if you are, God bless you, because you have the key to life. You know what true joy is. But most of us need money to be happy.
Cut six, Phil. Keep going with this.
Now I know folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition, and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power.
Okay, so she's going to help Donald Trump with probably the only transition I'll ever get behind, and that is the switching of power and party on January 20th. So that's very nice of her to take the classy way out, and I believe Joe will probably say the same thing today. I think, Dawn, he will be coming on around 11 o'clock is what I've seen on the scroll 11. As when he's expected to speak.
Which means maybe it'll be by noon. My experience.
You might be able to break in live for a little bit. You never know.
A little bit more, Phil. Cut seven, go.
A fundamental principle of American democracy is that when we lose an election, we accept the results. That principle, as much as any other, distinguishes democracy from monarchy or tyranny. And anyone who seeks the public trust must honor it. At the same time, in our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States.
That old pesky First and Second Amendment that you despise, eh?
And loyalty to our conscience and to our God. My allegiance to all three is why I am here to say, while I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Okay, so you do not concede Trump derangement syndrome, Hitler, Nazis, and Roe v. Wade, because that's what your campaign was about. And by the way, very interesting that she takes the route of chastising Trump from 4 years ago, because the scoreboards read entirely differently. 4 years ago, Donald Trump lost by 40-some thousand votes. With all due respect, lady, you got smoked by 5 million. So there's really nothing to contest and fight, right?
When the 40-some thousand votes was one state. I think it was Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
She didn't lose by 5 million in Pennsylvania.
Oh, no, mm-hmm. no. But she lost a popular vote.
Yes.
Right.
Well,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not officially yet.
Not officially, but I don't really see 5 million coming in her favor.
You don't think?
From Nevada and Arizona. It's just a hunch, but but it's like in the football game on Sunday. If the Eagles roll into Jerry's Palace and they beat the Cowboys 44-7, I don't think Jerry Jones can really contest the outcome.
But just going back, one more stat I want to give to you, because I really think it's about work, jobs, working class demographics, and Trump's message of peace, prosperity, and obviously making border security a priority. Working class voters. In 2016, he had 41% of the vote in 2016. In 2020, he had 44%. This is Pew Research Center. And working class voters this time around in this week's election, 50%. That's up at least 9 points toward Trump from 2016. I really think that what everybody misses the mark when they're looking at, oh, what about Hispanics? What about women? What about this age group? I think it's about people who want jobs, who want full-time jobs, not just part-time jobs.
Yeah. Are you guys seeing any vote totals so far as how many people actually voted? Because I've seen some statistics that it's not... it's not as many as 2020.
Correct. I believe it's
And he didn't get as many votes. Like, I'm hearing it's around, like, what, he got 74 million and 80...
I've got him right here. Okay. He's got 72,641,564. So 72.6. So he's down about 1.4 million.
From 2020.
From 2020. She is at 67,957,895. So she's at 67.9, which is about 12 to 13 million below what Joe apparently got in 2020.
This is a little bit of a sore topic, I think, with a lot of people, because it's amazing how you look at, you know, voters and everything on all the graphs, and then you look at 2020, and it's
a lot of people
strange,
tweeting. Yeah, they're all wondering where those 14 million votes went.
Where? Maybe a lot of people left the country. I don't know.
I'm off then. Huh. I had said, so if the numbers were correct and they were 81 and 74, that's 155. 72 and 68, zero, okay, that's 140. I'm wrong. I've been pretty much wrong on everything, which is why I did not make an official prediction on who would win, because I didn't know. So I thought Trump, I did say Trump was going to be above 74 million this time around, and I said that she would be less than Joe. So I got that part right, but I was off on the Trump side. I wonder how many he'll get in 2028. He's not allowed to run again. Dude, say that to somebody that doesn't like Trump and their head will explode.
So 150 million in 2020?
155.
Compared to how many?
140. That's 15 million. Trump's down about a million and change, and they're down, the Democrat Party, 13 million.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And
on that note, as far as election goes as well, TV ratings are out, and it looks like the election averaged 42 million viewers across 18 cable and broadcast networks from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, which is a 26% decline from 4 years ago.
Well, again, people, you know, we've been talking about breadcrumbs, cultural touch points, breadcrumbs all morning. If you look at that number, you can't say it's not because more people weren't really interested in it, because I do think that especially at the end, there were a lot of people interested in it.
Sure.
It just, those ratings and all the ratings we've been talking about for everything have been declining, except sports.
Yeah.
Over the years. That just means that more people are just getting information on their phone and they're watching TV.
How much do you factor in, because I see these numbers, it went from 56.9 million 4 years ago to 42 million this year. How much of that is pandemic related from the standpoint you kind of had to stay in your house when either businesses were closed or they were operating at 20 or 25% capacity, and you were maybe more relegated to your cable and your television 4 years ago? Because remember, this was pre-vaccine shots, right?
Yeah.
The vaccine didn't roll out until for the most severely potentially impacted until the holidays of 2020. So we're talking November 2020. We're living in the pandemic with, quote, you know, no medicine to take, so to speak. And I'm wondering, like, how that factored into people staying home and watching on their television versus going out somewhere.
Yeah.
Or just not even, you know, maybe it's still the double hater fatigue and the exhaustion of, I'm going to cast my vote, I'm going to go to the ballots, and then I'm done thinking about it.
One of my neighbors has a sign that says neither 2024. So,
wow. I haven't ever seen one of those.
Yeah.
So I just added up these numbers with the latest. And I get, what I get here is 140 million 654,149.
Yep.
Is that what you got?
Yep. I didn't do the specifics, but I got 140.
I always want to check it.
Yep.
So it's 140,654.
Check your work, folks, before you submit your
test. I never trust any of these numbers, so I just wanted to look at that.
Yep.
They're still tallying, mm-hmm. right? That's 97, 98-ish.
Yes.
Depending on which graph you
have. I have the FoxNews.com/election tracker. They still have Nevada and Arizona in white. Mm-hmm. Although the Electoral College, they're giving Trump 312. So I think they've added the electoral votes to Trump, but they haven't tabulated the popular numbers.
Yeah, because Fox is, I mean, it's depending on who you look at, whether it's the other news or even BBC, they have Trump at 294. She's at 223.
Okay.
So I think that everybody has their different standard, I guess, mm-hmm. for when they're going to call it, which is, you know, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
According to NBC, that before the concession speech yesterday, Kamala Harris actually didn't have a concession speech made up, which showed you the confidence in their campaign.
Boy, the arrogance.
The arrogance.
Even Bob Brady is pissed off right now.
Yeah, I'm going to play Bob Brady again because I think it's worth playing. But let's start here with cut three, Phil. Cut three, go.
Hi there, Lester. Well, as we await the Vice President's remarks right behind me, we can tell you that this is the first time that we will see her publicly since yesterday afternoon when she was at DNC headquarters at a phone bank. But I was here yesterday, Lester, and I can tell you the mood here very different than it was yesterday, at least earlier in the night. We saw just such a deflated crowd here as the returns started to come in. Now, we can tell you that the vice president was at her residence throughout the day and that she was working on her speech. Interestingly, a Biden aide tells me that she really didn't have this type of concession speech fully ready. She had expected instead to have a type of speech where she would tell her supporters to hold on because her campaign really expected this election results process to drag on for several days. But we understand that she did talk to former President Trump earlier today. She talked to him about the importance of a peaceful transfer of power and also the importance for him to be a president for all people, for all Americans. Now, also, President Biden also called former President Trump. We're told that he invited the former president, now president-elect, to the White House, but we're still awaiting details on that, on when that might happen. The staff is still working it out right now. Lester, I can tell you there's some cheering behind me. Again, any moment now, Vice President Harris is expected to come out here and deliver her remarks. As you said, very significant location, her alma mater. This is also the place where she announced her bid for president back in 2019. And she has also told interviewers that this location is very meaningful to her because it was the first time she ever ran for elected office when she was a freshman here at Howard University. And she ran for a representative here at the university. But again, we're waiting for those remarks, Lester, after a very disappointing day for Democrats.
All right, Gabe.
Same location, same results. 5 years later, rejected. I was just curious at Howard University. Did they have TLC perform or Destiny's Child? What was the musical act, right? That's the big part of the Kamala concert series, right? You got to have the musicians performing. So, yeah, I would expect it to be very somber. But, boy, that is very arrogant to not. I mean, I was legitimately, God's honest truth.
She gave a concession speech.
Huh?
Nothing.
I was actually thinking of having a big take for both outcomes yesterday.
Still,
I mean, I was
waiting for 2020s.
You'd be waiting for a long time for that one, sir. I was thinking of having a big take in my head. I mean, there were some things that I had because to me, the results should not be surprising other than the fact that I guess that Trump won the popular, which almost never happens for Republicans. I mean, if I was going to do a big take yesterday in defeat, I mean, we know what the reasons would be, right? It would be Roe v. Wade. We would have to bring up January 6th. Speaking of that, isn't it fascinating that for 4 years, the mainstream media never allowed you to forget about January 6th?
And
yet,
oh, yeah.
And yet that didn't factor in to the election. Well, I mean, maybe it did in a losing effort for Democrat voters. But, you know, they moved on from 9/11 quicker than they did January 6th. And Politico wrote a story about how Trump was deemed unelectable after what transpired in 2020. And here he is. Just goes to show you, if you're awful, you ain't getting in.
Let's go to some of the late night reactions, shall we?
Yeah, what did Colbert have?
I'm sure people are
Fallon.
Excited to hear that. Yeah, we have Colbert, Fallon, Whoopi Goldberg was on Fallon.
Whoopster didn't get enough work in on The View?
And I said I would play Bob Brady. Let's stick with this.
Yeah, this is actually great if you missed this earlier.
And let's play Philadelphia Democratic Chairman Bob Brady. This audio and video is courtesy of NBC 10 about slamming the Harris campaign after loss. this is something. Go, Phil.
Falling short.
I would have liked to see the Harris campaign, especially the national campaign, coordinate with us a little bit, talk to us a little bit, give us a little bit more resources, you know, show us some respect. Didn't happen. They were just elitist and went out there, did their own thing, and didn't include Democratic City Committee, our wardens, or our committee people. They just didn't do it.
Turnout in the Democrat-rich city can help Democrats win statewide. But this year, numbers as of mid-afternoon showed Philadelphia has not turned out as many votes for Kamala Harris as it did Joe Biden 4 years ago, while Donald Trump boosted his votes.
So you know Philadelphia, and you know what needs to be done here. If you're not getting what you think you need from them, why not just do it on your own? It's your city.
We did it on our own. That's why we got the numbers we got, regardless of what they did.
But it didn't work.
Well, it worked in the city of Philadelphia. We pulled out the margins. We did as much as we can.
Turnout, according to the latest tally, sits around 63%, under the 2020 threshold.
Some people in Philadelphia, some voters, just decided they weren't going to vote, weren't going to participate. How do you explain that?
Talk to her about that. She's the one.
You don't feel like Democrats in the city who live here take any responsibility for that?
I don't think that the Democrats that live in the city related to her, and I don't know why. I don't know whether there's an elitist factor out there. Woo-hoo. I don't know why she didn't talk to them. I don't know.
Brady, a longtime friend of President Joe Biden, is also still unhappy with how the switch from Biden to Harris on the top of the ticket happened.
I'm really not that happy the way they took him off.
Biden announced his decision to leave the race this summer after a roundly criticized debate performance.
For one bad debate? Hey, Obama had a bad debate. Fetterman had a horrible debate. Give him a, and he did public appearances after that, and he was fine.
Wow.
The only difference is Obama can rebound because he's not at the point where he should be, I don't know, in an elderly facility. Like, Joe is what he is because of his age. It wasn't, you know, it's not like Joe was going to have a bounce back moment, but
maybe he would have, though. Bob Brady is, he's somebody who is wise, and listen to the way he speaks. We made our margins. If you look at all of the data that they're putting out now and all these researchers, and this is what they do, this is their wheelhouse. What they're saying is, with the exception of those white voters where she did make that huge gain, and would I say 9-point gain, but other than that, she missed every margin. And so you look at the city of Philadelphia, I'm sure there are pockets where she obviously did quite well. But I think what he's speaking about is the working class, the union member. I don't think she got the union vote, the working person vote, and any of the, we know that she didn't get the Hispanic vote, the African-American vote in the ways that they wanted, that they set those expectations for her.
Even in the county she won, Montgomery County,
yeah.
Delco, Chester, the margins weren't the same as they were in 2020. Like, she lost ground mm-hmm. in both counties.
Yep.
So, also, I want to say this about Bob Brady to piggyback off what Dawn's saying. Bob Brady, Dawn, you would say, and Joe Biden are from the same cloth,
yes,
and they're the same ilk, like
old school.
They're probably good friends, right?
Yep.
Would you agree with me that Bob Brady is actually speaking for Joe Biden?
Ooh,
meaning
like Clooney speaks for Obama.
Meaning this is what Joe Biden wants to say but can't, and Bob Brady is saying it.
That they didn't show him the respect.
Yes,
I do think that, and I think if I'm friends with somebody and they act disrespectful to, in other words, to Joe Biden, I think, you know, my read on, for example, Jill Biden wearing a bright red pantsuit, which by the way is not even her. I've never seen her wear bright red like that. I know this is a woman thing, but I swear to God, she wore that for a reason.
She voted for Trump.
You know what I mean? And so do the Bidens feel disrespected? Do I think that Democrats in general, Nancy Pelosi and all of them, disrespected Joe Biden? I do. I mean, that not for nothing, but you should show the respect.
Yep.
They didn't respect, but they also, to your point about arrogance, they were this, the Harris people, and by the way, they had the Joe Biden people then added their own, but they were disrespectful. But I will say this, Greg, to your question, Bob Brady is somebody who delivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a point of pride, I think that he and his team did everything within their power and within their monetary ability to get out the vote. I just think they felt like it was an uphill battle, and obviously they were asking for resources, and they got nothing.
I just got a text from one of our contributors that would like to be left unnamed on this specific text, and he says, I'm sorry, but Brady is a sore loser, and he failed, not Harris.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And it's interesting he uses words like coordination, resources, respect, and elitists. And then when you think about it, I mean, her closing statement came Monday night right here in the city of Philadelphia. She was here countless times over 3.5 years, and a lot of time down the stretch, yes, she did the thing at the Leah Chorus Center. And the fact that you don't tap into more of those resources, especially when you were trying to pull off the historical significance of what Sherelle Parker did. Sherelle Parker becoming the first female African-American mayor in Philadelphia history. And Kamala Harris is trying to do that on the national stage. And you don't do everything you can, apparently, to, you know, help out the people on the ground. That's staggering to me.
Let's go to the late night reaction, shall we? Let's start with, because remember, they were all off because of the election on Tuesday night. But so their first crack at it for the Colberts, the Fallons, and the Jimmy Kimmels was last night. Let's start with Colbert. This is Cut 9. Phil, go.
How are you doing?
Good.
If you watch the show regularly, I'm guessing you're not doing great.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
yeah, me neither.
Can you stop this for a second?
You know, today...
This is how he started his comedy show?
Oh, what a low-energy hack.
Wow, this is so funny.
Man, Colbert. Is he going to bring out his wife to give us a lecture on abortion again?
That's the other one. That's Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, I was kidding. That's right.
Getting your non-funny people confused there.
There's a lot of them, Dawn. Lose track of them.
I mean, like... I get it, okay? Like, the election didn't go your way, okay? Uh-huh. But, like, let's get back to work.
Yeah.
Don't they pay you to,
right.
to like, you know, people...
Right.
Have people stay up after...
Yes.
As they're trying to fight sleep?
Get back to doing what you think is a well-balanced, funny show, even though I don't think it's funny. And, you know, with Trump being elected, there's going to be plenty of days where we're going to talk about what the media said, what they accused Trump of. But if you think I'm going to sit here for the next 4 years, and folks, I anticipate being here for well beyond 4 years, I'm not just going to sit here for the next 4 years and be like, yeah, Trump said this, I agree. Let's keep moving along. Like, we're going to do a well-rounded show. We're going to talk about other things beyond just Donald Trump every single day, right? Like, you know, this notion that these people, and by the way, the Colberts of the world, the Jimmy Fallons of the world, it don't matter who the hell the president is. You make $20 million a year. You're above it all. You're not impacted by inflation. These people that are so over-invested, whether it's an act or it's real, is actually just, honestly, it's cringe. It's disturbing. Dude, go ride your yacht. Smile. Have a cocktail.
Have a Fresca.
Yeah, there's going to be another election in 4 years. I know sometimes you try to tell your audience that this might be the last election ever. He's not going to leave. He's going to pass the baton off to Barron. Stop.
Barron would be eligible. It'd be Don Jr.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Or Ivanka. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, was at the
election? She was there. She was on stage with Dad.
Interesting. 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 Keep going.
Some people said to me, sorry you have to do a show tonight, which is nice of them to say, but I don't have to do a show. I get to do a show tonight.
Oh, boy.
I'm so grateful to be with all of these talented people. Those people over here, those people that you'll never see, with the audience and the Ed Sullivan, with you people at home.
You people.
Because, especially at times like this,
God,
what do we most want to be?
Can you stop it for a second?
Not alone.
I don't have to be here. Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right. You don't.
First of all, they obviously instructed the crowd not to cheer, not to do anything.
Yeah, no applause.
No applause because it's so like this is him. This is him just. I don't understand it. I don't. I'm sorry. I just don't.
I don't
understand this whole like notion of. Do what brought you to the dance, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, just be funny.
Right.
I don't know. Talk about, you know.
I mean,
fine. Make Trump jokes. Great. You know, like,
yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Was he funny pre-Trump era? I mean, I don't know. I've never really watched his show. I mean, I've watched.
Was he ever funny?
Yeah. I mean, I've watched bits and pieces of Fallon. Of the current cycle right now, who do we have? I've seen bits and pieces of Kimmel. Honest to God, the only time I've ever consumed Colbert is on the cut sheet. Same thing with Seth Meyers, because he's up, he's like, what is he at, like 1:35 in the morning?
12:30.
Yeah. 12, yeah, I mean, I'm in a coma at that point.
All right, keep going.
So thanks for being here. We're going to do a comedy show. It's a comedy show. We're going to do some jokes in just a minute.
But first.
Because that's what we do.
Yeah, nice Apple
I'll
watch,
let you in on a little secret. No one gets into this business because everything in their life worked out great. So we're built for rough roads. You guys ready? Are we cool? Okay. We're going to start the show now. And correct me if I'm wrong, Lewis. We usually start with a cold open.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Do we have one?
Yeah.
We do? Great. Jim?
Boy.
Yeah. America's allies.
What did he?
This is hysterical. What? Second Trump presidency. Yeah.
It's an election millions around.
Or is that supposed to play? What is that?
What the heck?
Even though they
it's a continuation of CBS.
NATO will be greatly diminished. I think our European allies will be very, very nervous.
I think leaders are bracing for what another Trump term could mean.
And now the world reacts to America's decision.
Smash the hockey stick.
I'll be in my bedroom, making no noise and pretending that I don't exist.
Potter? Oh, that's racist. They use Super Mario for Italy. Japan. Guy getting hit in the testicles. I love those videos, by the way. Alright, we got Russia.
Alright.
Yeah, boy, what a... boy, if you don't get it live on CBS, you can stream it on Paramount Plus. You know, the whole cold open thing, it's just so bad. Like, I don't know. Do you have to pay? I guess this is a valid question. Do they give away tickets for Colbert, or do you have to pay for this?
No, you don't have to pay for them. You get...
I knew SNL was like a waiting list.
Yeah, SNL is a waiting list that's like years,
yeah,
by the way.
Right.
They're like season tickets for, you know, some sports teams.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But now I think if you're... You know, they have a, I don't know how many people are in that studio, like 200 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they give away tickets to people who are, usually it's like tourists who go and visit the city.
By the way, I got to rip Colbert and anybody that wears a suit and then also wears like an Apple Watch. When you're wearing like a suit or dress attire, wear a classy watch.
Stop.
Whether it's a brown leather band, a gold watch, a platinum, silver, you can't wear like the workout watch in. But I'm also the same guy, so take it for what it's worth. I don't understand the sneaker look with the suit. I don't get that, right? Like, I if you're wearing
you're
a suit,
such
wear the
an
dress
old
shoes.
Man.
No, it's not an old man thing. It's a bad. It doesn't match. It's not coordinated. It's bad. He's wearing a nice suit there, and he's got a red and black Apple Watch like he's at LA Fitness on a treadmill. No.
By the way, Kamala Harris coming up in 10 minutes.
Can't wait to chat with her.
For her real concession speech.
I will ask her the tough questions that nobody in the media will.
You will. EKZ, Nick, fashion tips, really? Yeah, exactly.
Hey, when I decide to dress up, I am fashionable. Just because I Fetterman it on the radio because I get up at the ass crack of dawn does not mean I don't have good fashion.
Not my crack. Sorry, I couldn't. That's like,
no, it's Hunter Biden's crack.
Joke.
By the way, anybody ever find out whose crack that was?
Cocaine, please.
That should be Trump's first act.
Yeah.
Whose cocaine was in that cubby on July 4th, 2023? That's what America wants to know.
All right, the Whoopster was on Jimmy Fallon, who was also very dour, very, upset. Let's play that, Phil.
Always the best. Thank you for doing this.
I try.
Obviously, on everyone's mind, everyone's talking about the election. I just figured if there's anything left to be said that you didn't say this morning.
I think we all get it. It happened. Some of us it went our way. Some of us it didn't. This is the nature of an election.
The end.
This is what happens.
That's how these things
work. You don't
work.
Always like what you get.
Right.
But when you don't like it enough, you can get out there and protest. That's the beauty of America. So it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
Right. I got to see you this summer.
Yes, you did.
He's like, enough of that.
You know, it's just amazing, though. What is there to protest? I mean, it was a rout. It was a blowout. She got worked. There's nothing to contest. There's nothing to contend. And it happened with the Republican in a rout, winning the popular vote, getting the 312 electoral college votes, the first time a Republican has done so since 1988. I mean, the last time that happened, Whoopi Goldberg was filming Ghost with Patrick Swayze. What are you going to protest? What they should protest, if they're going to protest, is the fact that they subverted democracy. The people that voted for Joe in the primary, the 14 million, who said, you know what, I'd like to see Joe in there for another 4 years. Now, I don't know personally why they would, but that's what they wanted. Those people should go out and protest because they basically said my vote doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's what the protest should be about.
All right, one more, and then we'll get to the Vice President, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, just I don't even
the end?
I don't even want to set this up. Just play it.
I'm trying to figure out what happened. Babe, be honest. Last week, did you guys send that monologue to a Republican like I asked you to? Those of you who are hate watching this show right now, wanting to watch me suffer, you will be happy to know that there was no joy in Mudville last night. I was all over the place. One minute I'm watching these long lines in every city and I think, oh, that's beautiful, democracy in action. Next minute there's a reporter chatting with some bro at Arizona State who said he voted for Trump because Kamala didn't go on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I'm like, where did I leave my passport? My kids were very upset. You know, every once in a while when something bad happens, we let our kids curse for 30 seconds. We tell them they have 30 seconds to say any word they want, and all the words they choose are curses. So at breakfast this morning, my wife tells our daughter, Jane, who's upset. She said, you know, you can do it. And just as she starts the cursing, our 7-year-old Billy comes down the stairs. He's wearing a black Adidas tracksuit and high tops and a pair of Ray-Bans. He looks like the fourth member of Run DMC. And he just hears the tail end. He says, what's going on? And my wife says, well, Donald Trump won. And he goes,
All right, well, at least
why
he
does
did
your
it.
7-year-old know who Donald Trump is?
Well, my daughters.
Honestly.
My daughters knew of Trump at 6. I remember this was during the pandemic.
Is it what your mother-in-law said?
Well, it could be from her or it could be from the teachers. I remember them coming home from school and they said, is Donald Duck going to win the re-election? And I just looked at my wife because I know I wasn't, especially in 2020, I was not talking about politics in my house. So I believe they got it from probably some liberal teachers.
I don't know. I think we keep kids as shielded from this crap for as long as we possibly can.
Agreed.
Honestly.
Agreed. Jeez. I love when my daughter comes down the steps, though. Daddy, did Kamala win?
That's cute.
We had my wife and I had a discussion because she was 8 years old, 9 years old when Bush and Clinton and the 92 election. And, yep. and she said she remembers having like a mock debate in school and you had to vote for the president. I was
pretty young
for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember knowing a lot of that when
feels
I was
like,
that
I don't know, like a 7th or 8th grade type thing where that stuff maybe starts.
Yeah.
Like junior high, middle schoolish.
Yeah. When you start, I mean, do they even teach civics anymore?
Civics.
It should start in civics class. All right. We got a break.
All right. Coming up next from Howard University to Talk Radio 1210, Kamala's cassette.
Hey, got my daughter. Kalamala's obsession.
Kalamala. Now you got yourself.
See what you did, Olivia. You got daddy saying Kalamala. Kamala's concession tour continues in a city that apparently she did not respect, did not coordinate with, did not use resources, and she was coming off as an elitist to the Bob Brady. By the way, if Bob Brady, if you're listening, your girl's coming up next.
Uh-oh.
It's Gale and Company, and we're back after this. But first, a word from my friends at DuckDuckGo. Maybe right now you're trying to search about Dave McCormick and the election here in Pennsylvania. Can I suggest using DuckDuckGo instead of Google? And that's why we are so proud to work with DuckDuckGo again, because they give you the results you're looking for with no suppression, no spying, no scams. And they're taking online privacy and security to the next level with Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. I just subscribed to it 2 weeks ago, and I hope you do the same as well. It's a 3-in-1 privacy service, and it's going to give you a secure VPN anytime, anywhere. Also, they provide you identity theft restoration. So if your identity is stolen, they are going to restore everything for you and help you through the process. I don't want anybody stealing my information or my identity. And also the personal information removal, credit card numbers, address, you name it. Take advantage of this special offer now, exclusively for our listeners. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210. You get a free 7-day trial offer. And then after that, just $9.99 a month. It's the best $10 you'll spend a month. Do it today. Thank us later. duckduckgo.com/1210.
What is it? Week 10 starts the NFL tomorrow night. No, it's tonight. It's tonight.
Yeah. Bengals tonight. Bengals Ravens.
Thursday, right? Tonight's Thursday. Thank you. Week 10. Bengals at Ravens. Let's look at a... By the way, this is FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. In case you didn't know, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So let's look at tonight's game. Let's try this 3-leg same game parlay. Derrick Henry on the over for rushing yards. Joe Burrow, I'm going to go under for the 1.5 passing touchdowns. And Deontay Johnson on the over for receiving yards. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more this season. Week 10 tonight, Bengals and Ravens. What else are you doing? Come on. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And 1210 WPHD, 21 and over, President PA. First online, real money wager only, $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. A bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
The current vice president of the United States and a lady who came up big time. Oh, no, she didn't. I'm just kidding, folks. She got all of 226 votes in the Electoral College. Kamala Harris is with us here on Kale and Company. Kamala, good morning. How are you, dear?
What are you so happy about? I don't understand.
Because I voted against you.
Yeah, well, figures. Well, it's certainly isn't a fine morning, like Nancy would say, is it?
No, it's not. But I do give you credit for coming behind enemy lines in defeat and facing the music. So let's start with this right off the top, dear. How stunned are you by losing and losing in the fashion you did? Because I've heard reports that you didn't even have a concession speech written up entering yesterday at Howard University.
You know, Toe, I got to tell you, I'm pretty stunned. I'm pretty stunned. Look, we've raised $1 billion. All right. I've never even seen that much money up close. You know, the fact that we were able to raise that money, all right, and the people didn't listen to Beyonce, you know, they didn't listen to Usher, they didn't listen to Cardi B. In fact, you know, the black community is listening. Let me ask y'all something. Who would have been a better, you know, who would have been better for y'all? Because I'm trying to sort this out. I can't even understand how you can sit there at a rally, get a free Megan Thee Stallion concert, have her booty, you know, shaking and everything. I paid for all of it. So, you know, I don't know where I went wrong. This is definitely something that we need to discuss. I don't think that the American people understand the mistake that they just made. And, you know, I got to tell you, Toe, I'm pretty stunned. And like you said, you know, I didn't have a speech ready. Hillary told me that we got it in the bag. You know, Obama looked worried from day one. He never believed in me. You know, we can speak openly now. He never believed in me. He thought that he could, you know, he should let Big Mike run. But, you know, I just don't understand. You know, was it the collard greens? I can't make sense of it. I don't know what happened, where we went wrong. You know, I was furious. Hillary was mad in 2016. She threw a chair out the window. I threw Hillary out the window. This was embarrassing. She's fine, by the way. Nothing keeps that woman down. She fell on Bill's cigar stash. You know, she's all right. A few bumps and bruises, but yeah, I'm still in a bad mood.
Understandable. Do you believe America rejected you because we are a racist and sexist country?
I believe in my country. I don't think that that's what happened. I think Joe Biden sabotaged me.
Uh-oh.
You know, I don't know if it was retribution for all the times I didn't put the diaper cream on. I don't know if it was because we didn't let him run. I mean, he wouldn't have won. If I didn't win, he wouldn't have won. And I firmly believe that. But, you know, I think that calling people garbage, it was just a nail in the coffin. You know, and look, I know I told people that they were at the wrong rally because, you know, someone said Christ is king or whatever, but I thought he was all forgiving, huh? I thought he was all forgiving. What happened? Christ loves everyone. I didn't think that it was going to be a big deal. I'm just, you know, I'm furious. It's not funny.
At least you can laugh it off, though, dear. So Kamala Harris is joining us, and I wanted to ask you about this. Do you now realize that Tim Walz, your husband, Doug Emhoff, as well as white dudes for Harris are really not the definition of masculinity?
Look, Tim and Doug are both fine women, all right? They're both really, really great. But, you know, I gotta say, he really messed up with the horses. I mean, this isn't my fault. So you got to understand, like, this is Beyonce's fault, Cardi B's fault, Usher's fault, Joe Biden's fault, Jill's fault, Barack's fault, you know, Tim and Dougie. I did everything I was supposed to do. I followed their playbook. So, you know, I don't understand what both these women want from me. What from, you know, Doug, I couldn't get him to convince Ella to take one shower. Not for any of the... You know, it was just nobody wanted to play ball. Nobody wanted to play ball. I don't understand this obsession people have with Donald Trump or this love they have for him and his people. You know, no matter what that man does, these people stood by him. And you know, quite frankly, I'm a little jealous. I never had that loyalty. I never had that respect. And we can damn sure agree on that, me and you both. That is not the definition of masculinity. You know, I'm going to go back in my timeline and, you know, think about Willie Brown and see what I could have done different.
Speaking of that, I was just going to ask you, your days are numbered here as the vice president. What will you do once you officially become unemployed on January 20th?
Look, it's not over till the fat lady sings. All right. I'm trying to work on a contingency plan here. But, you know, it's just been a very overwhelming couple of days. You know, I just want to drink. Oh, man. I just want to relax a little bit. You know, I haven't worked this hard ever, you know, in all my collective years of being attorney general, when I was pretending to work, and all my years of being a prosecutor. You know, I never worked this hard. I mean, I was only getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. That's you know, that was uncalled for. But, you know, Toe, I was thinking, you know, maybe you can get me a job.
Oh,
you know, we get along. Maybe we could run the radio or something. What do you think about that?
We'll look into that.
Darn, she's trying to take your job.
She's trying to become the news anchor on the show. It's unbelievable.
I mean, why would you assume that a woman would take a woman's job? Maybe she's going to take one of y'all's jobs.
Yeah. Kamala and Company.
Sorry.
I like the sound of Kamala and Company.
That'd be amazing.
You should consider it. Okay.
We'll have a meeting in the conference room at 10:05. Last one for you, because I know you have a lot of other interviews that you're going to do. Because
I have no interviews. I don't understand what's going on.
Very interesting,
I'd like to have more interviews now that I'm up for it. Nobody wants one.
Yeah.
Nobody wants one.
We've seen Hillary carry the burden of losing to Donald Trump every day for the last 8+ years. So the question for you is, as we let you out the door here and, you know, you become unemployed and God knows what you're going to do for the rest of your time
on
Earth.
Settle down. Yeah. So, you know, you're putting salt on the wound now.
Right. That's what we do here. How do you remain unburdened by what has been for the rest of your life?
I'm not sure yet. You know, I gotta say, I feel pretty burdened right now. I am angry at America. And you know, the worst part about this is I convinced some of these people that they're in big trouble. So, you know, I got people calling me, texting me, you know, the ones that actually believed in everything that I was preaching. They're, you know, they think their rights are taken away. It's kind of funny when you think about it. You know, I have women have a nervous breakdown sending me the bills with their for their therapists. So, you know, I'm looking into a condo in the Maldives. That's where the $20 million went missing from my campaign. Don't tell anyone. But, you know, I'm just looking into early retirement at this point. You know, I want to get some treatment for my neck.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Donald Trump called me the Gizzard of Oz. You know, I got very sensitive about that recently. And, you know, I'm just going to take a vacation. I came out of nowhere before. I can go back into the abyss now.
Kamala Harris, a.k.a. our gal, Esty, great job as always. Thank you so much for the time, Esty. I got to wrap it up, but I just want to thank you for all the times you've joined the show. We'll continue following, consuming you on Twitter, at MommyRN88, and certainly we will talk with you down the road again, maybe before Trump takes over the White House on January 20th.
Absolutely. Would love that.
All right, there she is. Esty, take care. Great work as always, Esty. Cracking us up, and our buddy Sean Farish, a.k.a. Donald Trump, normally joins us tomorrow at 8:30. He's got to travel for a wedding, but he will be, and it's not his wedding, by the way. He's got another wedding to attend, and he'll join us coming up on Monday morning at 8:30. We're back after this with a man who looks like he's on the line and he wants to pay off his losing bet.
What?
Yes, he's related to Chris Matthews, in case he never told you before. It's Gale and Company, fourth hour next.
You know, my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles feature the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and so much more. These models have sleek new designs as well as innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. And Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.